So today is May 26th, 2010. I'm Rick Hansen, and I wanted to talk tonight about a topic that sets up the focus on concentration in the month of June, and also acknowledges where we are in terms of mindfulness of the body. And the topic is softening and opening. I don't normally give as many suggestions as I did in this meditation. I hope it wasn't problematic. People vary. Some people don't like to hear another person's voice. I'm actually somewhat like that myself. Other people really like guided practices, either way. So I try to keep them to a minimum, sort of as a necessary evil. Softening and opening is a great entry into an intimacy with our own body. Because how can we be mindful of the body, as the Buddha recommends, if we're resistant to the body or have a lot of armoring and resistance built into it? So I thought what we could do is do two little experiential practices, which you're welcome to bypass, as with anything here, and then we could really talk about this matter of softening and opening. And it's also the case that I think you might have noticed in that meditation that when the body is soft and open, it's a lot easier for the mind to rest. Did anybody notice that? Or you would say that in general? Yeah, it's easier for the mind to rest. Because the mind and the body, if you will, the brain and all the bodily systems all together are in continuous feedback loops. So the brain essentially is continually scanning the body for signs of threat or difficulty. So any kind of threat signal from the body or distress signal, you know, or in stress signal altogether, including any kind of emotional upset, gets the mind going, looking for a problem to solve, you know, a tiger to run from, a banana to get, right? Okay? So if we soften and open in the body, that helps the mind to be very equanimous and stable. And equanimity, I say this in part because I've been preparing for this day long, I'm doing it at Spirit Rock on Saturday, equanimity is so fundamental to Buddhist practice, and really, I think, to any fundamental path of liberation from suffering. Because in the moment of equanimity, we're not enacting craving. We're not carried by craving. Even if craving arises, we're equanimous about the craving and we don't enact it. Equanimity is the great circuit breaker, you know, in the circuits of suffering in the mind. So when the body is soft and open and the mind itself is soft and open, that takes us really quickly right to equanimity or a growing or a greater equanimity. And by the way, if you haven't done that workshop on equanimity, I want to, without apology, plug it, or without guilt either. But anyway, because it's really good. It's a great topic. It's a kind of, by definition, not a sexy topic. Equanimity, you know, balance, stability, spacious, I want to hear about something else, but anyway. Yet it's a very fundamental topic, and I'm going to do this solo without Rick Mendez, because Rick's on his honeymoon right now and double scheduled, and he had to choose the dog, and he made the right choice. So he's on his honeymoon, as we speak, I think, and so that's great, and I'm going to bring in a lot of new material, so equanimity. Okay, so here's... I'm going to set up this little exercise, and to do it, I need a volunteer who's about my size and height. So any volunteers to stand up and do a little demonstration with me? I was thinking of you, Bill. So here we go. Now, you may have seen this in other situations. All right, Bill, so stand up. We won't hurt each other, okay? So now imagine that there's something that you are resisting in your life. Okay, you have an aversive reaction to it, typically. It's unpleasant. You don't like it. It could be a condition that's sort of abstract, like, you know, the oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. Or it could be quite personal. a person that you're in a sticky situation with at work or at home, or it could be a class of people, red state, blue state, pick your least favorite political person, what have you. Okay? Or it could even be something inside yourself. That's actually a really good thing to think about. What are you resisting inside yourself? All right? So now think of something, but don't say. Okay, just imagine something that you're resisting. You want to get it out of your life. Okay? So now imagine, if you could, that I am that thing. All right? And you're pushing against me. You are going to resist me here. This is a throwback to the 70s and my roots in the human potential movement. I don't know if you knew that about my background. Okay, we're going to be doing towel pounding and catharsis really soon. Okay, hold up your hands. So I'm the thing you're resisting. Get me out of your life. All right, good, good. He's strong. Keep resisting. Come on. Want more resistance. Uh-oh. Now notice, what do you have a lot of right now? Keep pushing. What do you have a lot of in your life right now?
Momentum.
Well, you have a lot of me in your life. You have a lot when you're resisting.
I'm pushing over so easily.
Okay. Right. Okay, now I'll do it again. Now imagine that I'm the thing you're resisting, okay? That as soon as you resist it, you have a lot of it in your life. You know the old line, resistance causes persistence. That which you resist persists. Classic line, all right? So now, okay, imagine that. Come on. You're resisting me. I'm coming at you. I'm this thing you resist. And then suddenly let go. Let me go by. Come on. Ah, and I roll on by with a little dramatic flourish. Okay? You see? Thank you. All right. So, yay, Bill. Dumb, but you get it, right? So here's a scoop. So in a moment, and again, you can sit this out. I propose that you find a partner. Don't do it yet. Pick an A and a B. A's go first. And for about 2 minutes, A's tell B's about something that you're resisting or you have resistance to. It even could be those 10 or 5 or 1 extra pounds. All right? It could be anything you resist. And just talk about it. The listener mostly listen, the speaker mostly speak. And then I'll give a little ring of the bell after a couple minutes or so. And then you'll switch roles. B's will then talk about something that you resist. And then we'll go on to the next step, which I'll tell you about then. Okay? And, take care of yourself. This is not therapy. It's an exploration. Don't be more intimate or revealed than you really want to be. That said, it's an opportunity to just kind of normalize and talk about and be mindful of and explore even out loud, live, something that you're resisting in your life.
But we're not doing the pushing part.
Not doing the pushing part, unless you really want to. You're just talking about it, okay? That's right. You're not doing the pushing part. You don't have to touch your partner unless you want to. But be appropriate. This is a City of San Rafael situation. Okay, any questions what you're going to do? So you're going to be talking about something you resist. Don't waste your whole time thinking about what is that thing. Okay, pick a partner. Feel free to move around. It's okay to go out there. Don't really start till I say start. Try not to talk too loudly, because then it's really hard to hear each other. Anybody want a partner who doesn't have one? Now for phase two, with the same partner, and again, you're very free to alter these suggestions or to bypass them. A's, in a moment, pick something pleasant to talk about, all right? And while talking about it, focus on continually reminding yourself to soften and open your body while you talk about this thing that's pleasant. In other words, soften your throat, your eyes, relax your jaw. Also, for the next 2 minutes or so while you're doing that, I'll ring the chimes at two or three random moments. Doesn't mean stop. It just means use that as a little bit like a temple bell, if you will, to be right then and there, mindful of where am I at with softening and opening in the body as I speak. All right? Want to give it a try? Think of it as an experiment. So you're doing it, and you're also mindful of what this is like. All right, so pick something that's pleasant to get you going. and you know that you'll be talking about with your partner and sharing about and maybe exploring, but it's pleasant, like a nice time you've had, important, fun, beautiful, good experiences in your life, people who are dear and important to you that just make you happy when you're talking about them. Maybe an activity, playing the piano, making art, cooking, gardening, walking the dog. Animals are wonderful to talk about. You know, whatever's easy, pleasant. Okay? But the focus is on softening and opening while you speak. Notice my voice changing as soon as I just start feeling into it. All right? Okay, A's, begin. So the third step is to reflect on the thing you've been resisting in a much larger field of softness and openness. Okay, come on back and let's explore this. So come on back into the room, please. What was that like? Any reflections, observations?
I think it's good for letting go. Great for letting go.
Okay, thank you.
Embracing it and accepting it.
All right, great. Anything else about softening and opening or exploring that? Yeah, or resisting at the other end. Yeah.
I found it worked for like the first few milliseconds that I was...
You mean the third step?
The third step. Ah. And then my like calcifying mind got around and just started to build a case where, oh, no, you can't let that go.
That's it, yeah, okay.
But for a few seconds I felt it.
Uh-huh, okay, good. Yeah.
I'll say something similar. I went through that, and then I was like, well, I'm glad I didn't choose somebody that I really don't like.
All right, yeah, great.
For me, it was more of, in the beginning part, was focusing on the thing outside, and, you know, for me, it's being late and resisting going to work and all that stuff, and which is kind of a lifelong thing. And then when I did the softening, when I looked at it, was like, I'm doing this to myself. It was like I was more loving of myself, and I realized this is something I'm hurting myself, not somebody else. And that, I don't know, it's kind of a big insight for me to see it that way, that I could focus on taking better care of myself.
I think that's a really good one to sink in, you know, to talk. So there we're talking the first phase, first step, you know, resisting. Like, what's it like to resist something, right? And then you're saying further on, there's this insight that when we resist it out there, and we often make a case about the thing we resist out there, right? It's them, it's bad, da-da. But actually, we're harming ourselves by resisting it, right? I'm getting value from just reflecting on that myself, how that is. Yeah, in the back?
I guess for me it was similar because I had such a good experience thinking, actually, I sort of cheated. I did two different things. I started with my dog and then I transcended into something else. So, on the third part, I started to feel real emotional and felt some mercy for myself and a sense of self-love and then a sense that, okay, I resisted. You know, that's okay, and I'll eventually get there. That was it.
Oh, fine. That's great. Thank you. Yeah.
So my experience in the third part was actually experiencing the softening and the change in the relationship and oh, honey, you can do this. It was a very gentle energy. Then afterwards I realized there was a feeling of, well, of course this would work. Mm. It's just a sense, of course this is the way to do it. Mm-hmm. So that was the second level of insight.
Can you say more about that, of course? Like, what's that of course about, maybe?
Perhaps because the experience felt so easy in my body, it just happened almost without me having to think about it.
Yeah.
It just sort of happened naturally on its own.
Yeah.
It was effortless. So that's where the sense of accepting that as a practice, well, of course that would work.
Right.
And resting into a trust in it.
A trust, a confidence, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah.
When I went to softening and opening, the thing that came up really strongly is, I'm a good person. I'm not a bad person.
Mm.
Which let me know that the thing I was resisting, I was holding as if it doesn't come out a certain way, I'm not a good person, which made it very daunting, and then I could be forgiving and loving with myself. It lost some of its mass.
Yeah. Related to that, there's often the fear that if we soften and open around something, it'll be unbearable, right? Or dreadful truths will emerge. Like what a lousy person
put
we are. Yeah, if we lower our guard, whether it's just an event out here or an internal material, right? And what is actually the case when you soften and open around something that's been resisted? Does it become even more unbearable with more dreadful news, or does the opposite happen? So, like, close to Linda's notion of course this works. Yeah, go on. Wow.
I know, but then I thought, but I'd have to still let go of the thing that the world thinks is so important.
Ah.
But can I let go of that? Just, is it worth not suffering?
Yeah. And there, too, there's softening and opening around not yet being ready to soften and open. Seriously, that's a great trick, going metta. You know, you go metta. Like, no, I'm not yet ready to drop this fight with my fill-in-the-blank neighbor, landlord, barking dog down the street, whatever, you know. But I'm softening and opening around my resistance to that thing, or whatever it is, you know.
Or I still haven't suffered enough.
Yeah, or I can, fine, I can soften and open around the cross-eyed bear, you know. The other thing, of course, is to explore what it's like to speak truthfully in a soft and open way. Mm-hmm. And we're not giving up on wholesome assertion. Right, that's an option. Right? Yeah.
I think also with the resisting, it's just so much negative chatter, and it's just all consuming, and it just fills in with more negative and finding reasons of why you're resisting it and why it's bad and the fear and everything else. And once you soften up, it's like just cleaning the slate, and it's all some blank, and it's allowing something better to come in. And it was just a really great feeling of release and like a new adventure beginning.
Mm. Yeah. Right. Did you notice anything about resisting? What resisting is like, especially in the body, you know, as a kind of mindfulness of the body. You want to do that gesture?
Yeah. Why?
It's hard work.
Hard work?
Yeah.
Any other observations about resisting, what resisting is like?
Oh, yes, a contraction. Mm. And I thought of took more energy to resist than to do the thing I was resisting.
Like get up and get to work on time or something, right? Or whatever it is, you know, or do those emails in my case or something, yeah. Great, okay.
Stop breathing.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, please.
But letting go is hard work too, because it's so different.
That's right. In a way, you know.
In a way.
Yeah, yeah.
It's unaccustomed.
Is it? Yeah. That's where I think returning to the fundamentals, like exhaling. Like every baby knows how to exhale. How about we all exhale right now? We're very accustomed to that. So starting with the forms of softening and opening that we're accustomed to, then we can do, you know, the difficult work that you're saying, truly, for most of us, to, you know, soften and open around things at a, you know, kind of high, a more and more challenging level.
Exhaling is the time for letting go. Mm-hmm.
Did you notice any practical markers around softening and opening, kind of takeaways that you can use as anchors in the world? Like, for example, softening the throat. You can hear the change in timbre. Did you notice a difference when you were speaking, even if the chimes... Like I noticed that the octaves in the room dropped, or whatever, you know, it got deeper and more resonant in the chest after the chiming. Do you notice that? So, throat, eyes, very important to soften the eyes. That takes me back to Reikian therapy kind of things, where you soften around the eyes, and that too is a great cue into softening the mind. I'm reminded of one retreat I was on. Kamala Masters was quoting from a book from an African-American minister, I think in Los Angeles, and she was giving a talk on equanimity, and she quoted a line from his book, which she applied to equanimity. He said, "It's to see the world with quiet eyes." Quiet eyes, soft eyes. It's to see the world clearly, including the hard parts and the really nasty parts of it. To see the joys as well with quiet eyes. And, you know, soft and open either way. Other comments? About this whole realm of mind, of how, well, also softening, like breathing, and softening in the body, the chest, the throat, the eyes, the face. did you have any sense of that related to being aware of the body, or how unaware of the body we often are, and how softening and opening is a great way to get mindful of the body? Any comments about that? Imagine a ticklish relationship where it's, you know, where difficult conversations are happening or need really to happen, including situations where you're being truly wronged or mistreated. And imagine orienting to that situation with softening and opening, even before speaking. And then perhaps even engaging whatever there is to engage, whether it's doing it via email or voice, in a way that has a softness and an openness in it, what would that be like? You might compare and contrast the two, right? Standard MO with S&O, soft and open. There's S&M, then there's S&O, right? S&O. I like that, actually. I don't know. So, this is really good. We could do a lot of stuff with that. Anyway, what do you see as a contrast? Imagine some difficult person, right? Normal MO and then S&O. What's the difference? How would that be?
I think first it's less reactive to go through a step of softening and opening. And that in itself, taking a moment to, before you react, can become more of a thoughtful response is good. And then on top of that, coming from that soft, open place is another benefit.
Yeah. Great. Yeah.
It seems like S&O is more our true nature. So if you intend to drop into that first before you do anything, you'd probably be wiser.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, all great. Good.
I imagine being soft and open is also very much less judgmental. So you're allowing the other person to be who they are without judging them first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for saying that. That calls to my own awareness that noticing that softening and opening in the body does tend to quiet the mind. Right? It's not so judgmental, just like you're saying there. To be soft and open in a conflict situation, right, or a challenge. Interestingly, I was looking into my own experience of what that is, and it reminds me of two things, and then a metaphor for them. One is that to do that, it helps to kind of feel a natural strength and centeredness, because otherwise there is a fear. We'll be bowled over and dropping into, you know, as Linda was saying, into our own true nature, which has a great deal of groundedness and strength in it. It's really important. So you might just do little things to help yourself remember that. That's a way to help yourself stay soft and open in a tricky situation. The other thing is a sense of relatedness. I notice that soft and open draws me into a felt sense of relatedness with the earth, with other beings, with internalized nurturing figures, or people who I know are, you know, nurturing and caring in life today. Can you track that? So supporting conditions of softening and opening in challenges are a sense of strength and centeredness, and second, relatedness. And the metaphor that comes to mind about that is the classic one of the Buddha on his night of awakening, where he was soft and open, to be sure, assaulted by Mara, the forces of delusion and temptation and threat, if you will. And the Buddha reached down and touched the earth. You know, that's the classic gesture with his right hand to say essentially, and it's the interpretation of that gesture is that I'm here, I belong here, you know, I'm here. There's a sense of strength and rootedness and connection. I'm connected. Yeah. Right? And then it's interesting that the Buddha, didn't handle Mara on his own, but established that sense of rootedness and connection, as we all need to. So let's take one last minute, sit quietly together, and maybe let soft and open, centered and strong, and connected, sort of, you know, be woven into you with every breath. soft and open, grounded and related. Thank you so much. And I'll see you at the end of June.